Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I love the fact that we have a Resurrection Sunday. But I always find myself somewhat torn. And this didn't bother me when I was a kid or when I was younger. Okay, it's just because I'm older now. And that is, I guess, about the time I was 20-something, maybe 25, 6. It hit me in a really just a definitive way that I ought not be saving up all my celebrating for Christmas and Easter. And that truthfully, if I believed what I was celebrating on Christmas and Easter, then I ought to have more of a focus on every day. And that every day I needed to have more of an internalization of what I was saying was true. So I struggle sometimes with these. I like it like everybody else. Don't get me wrong. But there is a little part of me somewhere in there that's kind of like, well, why is this day different than any other day for you? And I keep coming back to, it ought not be. Although, it's a great day. Y'all ever have those kind of thoughts? Or am I the only one who's weird that way? So the fact of the matter is, we have been talking about being prepared for today. And honestly, whenever Dusty and I talked about all this, somewhere we went sideways. So the reality is what you're going to hear at 9:30 is a different version of what you're going to hear at 11, which is okay with me. Sometimes that just happens and it's not such a bad thing. So I'm coming at this from a different angle maybe because, you know, my brain is different from Dusty's brain most of the time. We end up in the same places, but the way we get there may be a little different. So I want to talk a little bit this morning as we have finally arrived. You know, today we don't celebrate the death of Jesus. We don't celebrate today the betrayal of Jesus. And we don't celebrate even anything that was not pretty about the treatment that Jesus received from the garden to the trials. What we talk about today is the fact that He is risen. That there was a resurrection. So I want to talk a little bit about this morning. What difference does the resurrection make? So yes, we're going to look at the same passage at both 9:30 and 11, and again, from a little different angle, I believe. So what I want you to do is that if you have a Bible or if you use your phone, whatever, we're going to look at Luke 24, 13 through 35. I want to make a couple observations as we look through the passage. Now, before we get started, though, I have a couple of questions. So as you're there, I want to have a little frame of reference. So here's the first question for you, and I want you to think about it. Is there a story to tell without the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? Is there a story to tell if there is no resurrection? Okay. Would it be a story that had the same amount of power? Do you think the story would have made it through history to us? Okay. So maybe there would have been a story to tell for a couple of hundred years, but then there wouldn't have been much reason to keep telling. Okay. How would you know? It would just be the story about a tragic character, wouldn't it? Because if there was no resurrection, what would that say about the crucifixion? The poor guy got accused of things he didn't do because he got caught up in the political climate of the day. He was crushed by the government and those who sought to protect their own control, what little control they had in their part of the world. But there would be no forgiveness because if you don't have a resurrection, then anything that Jesus said about his death would have no evidence behind it. All right, next question. So what place does the resurrection have in your faith story? I want you to think for a minute or two, and I want some of you to talk about what is this reality, what place has it served in your faith? Yeah, Heidi. I see it more of That's the trailer for the real picture. That the sacrificial system wasn't broke, it was just a trailer for the real drama to come. But again, that's just been my perspective, and it takes it, and we all come at it from our different angles. Mike. Been a lot of times in life where for a time there was a great cloud of doubt within me. And the one thing that always pierced the cloud, dried it up, sent it away, was the thought, the memory, the fact that the tomb was empty, and all anybody can do is go back and try to rewrite it. And that fact, the fact that Jesus was risen, that he was seen by lots of people once he was dead, was about the only thing that could put it all into perspective for me and remind me, okay, it's not just stories. Because the reality is when we engage and when we're dealing with culture, the culture constantly comes at us like a ocean at, you know, just beating on the beach to tell us that all the things that we know to be true about Jesus are just made up. Philosophically, we can say the reason why they're doing that is because they really want to keep us from that belief. But still, we get worn out, we get tired, we get distracted. We pull away from our closeness with God, and it's easy for us to start thinking anything. And the resurrection for me has been the thing that has been the lifeline to prove it all. Somebody else? Yeah, Russell. Anybody else like to share? Okay, let's look at the Luke passage, Luke 24:13-35. It says, "And behold, two of them," talking about two of the folks who had been disciples, "were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What are these words that you're exchanging with one another as you're walking?' And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' And they said to him, 'The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us. When they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe, and all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going further. But they urged him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it. And breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road while he was explaining the scriptures to us. And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. Got a couple of questions. What was their destination before they recognized Jesus? Okay, 7 miles outside of Jerusalem. Why? Okay, we were assuming they were going home. I mean, that's usually the assumption, isn't it? That that was where they came from. But why were they going? Share the news, what? You think that's why they were walking to Emmaus? They were close enough to know the things that had happened to Peter. And any smart one knows that means let's get out of Dodge. So these guys they had the story, right? But there's something that's different in the story. I mean, they had heard. I mean, okay, they heard the tomb was empty. They heard the women say they had seen somebody there that said, "He's not here." They knew that James and John had gone to the tomb, and they too said, "Yep, he's not there." But they're on the road to Emmaus. Do you know a lot of people who live like this? We've heard, we know, and we're still headed to Emmaus. Now, what's the cool thing? Let's look at this, and I don't want to overdo this. I don't want to make everything representative of, because that's not how you need to read Scripture all the time. But what's the cool thing about how Jesus shows up in this story? Okay, they didn't realize who he was, yet they were close enough to know the disciples, maybe be in the second or maybe third rung of those that followed or listened to Jesus. They knew the disciples. They were just far enough off that they didn't hear the voice enough. So let's look at the good part of the story. So what was their destination after they recognized Jesus and why? Okay. So they turned around and went back the 7 miles. Why? Now it's not that the tomb's empty. Now it's, we've seen him. Had anybody reported that they had seen him yet as far as they were concerned? Women said they had seen angels, if I remember correctly, or messengers, or gardeners, or somebody they thought. Okay. Well, no, there's one of the passages in the Gospels that says they thought that they were one of the gardeners, I think it's interesting that their destination was that they went back to where they came from once they knew. And it could be that it was because they wanted to report to everybody that they knew. And because they knew, they went back. Well, but you got to remember, James and Peter had also gone to the tomb and said he's gone too. So, no, they didn't. But they did see the empty tomb. John. Yeah. 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 Well, there are some. Okay, hang in there with me, because there are some that believe that one of the two dudes was Simon. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm just saying there are some that have that conviction. Right. I understand what you're saying. Because we know one of them's name was Cleopas. Okay? So, there's two. So, who's the other? We don't have a name until you get to this odd thing here. Yeah. So, you'd think Peter would have been with the 11. Oh, I'm hearing you. You know, there's a lot of things that because we don't know who actually these people were in the context of the disciples that followed Jesus. We know who the main 12 were. And yes, because it says went to the 11, you would think that wouldn't be Simon, that these would be two guys that would be on the periphery. I'm just telling you what some people think. I'm not advocating. And there could be more than one Simon. That is another fully possible thing. So but the fact of the matter was, and the thing that I think we're supposed to hold on to is not the rabbits we can chase, but the fact that once they had realized who this was, and that he was with them, that it thrust them back to where they came from to go tell. I'm not going to worry about chasing that rabbit, but yeah. Yes, I'm with you. I hear you. Which is why I'm not saying that, I'm just saying that some people toy with that idea. I'm not one of them. But there are people who will try to do that because of the things that are there in the past. All right, so that's question two. Question three. So how does this speak to us? How does it speak to you? Heidi. It's more than, it is a trajectory of life change, but it's so much more than just a different direction. It's a different reason. It's a different existence. Yeah. So we have this message. We have this story. We have this personal experience. Where is that taking us and why? It thrusts these two guys to go back to Jerusalem and tell. Now, that's not always where the Spirit leads us to go. That's where the Spirit led them to go. But it seems like if you look in the New Testament, there's always a destination. Even if it was Jesus saying, go show the priests, or go back home and tell everybody, or go out there, or Great Commission. As you're going, make disciples. Question four. What's the difference between the resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection of others, like Lazarus, the widow's son, and Jairus' daughter? Because Jesus was not the only resurrection. And there's more too, but those are prominent ones. Okay? All right? Jesus was the one behind those. Okay? All right? Okay. Jesus said, this is what is going to happen. All right. None of them did that. Okay. Yeah, Jerry. Okay. The other three, it was temporary. Okay. That's when Jesus died. Yeah. That's crucifixion. Yes, John. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good point. Yeah. Very good. Where do we see Jesus saying, something, he in several of the gospel accounts says, this is what's going to happen, folks. Whether the disciples wanted to hear it or not, sometimes, isn't it funny how the disciples were just like us? When Jesus would say stuff that they thought was either something they didn't want to hear or too difficult, they just kind of said, he didn't say that. Or, no, you didn't say that. No. And then, then whenever Peter gets bold enough to say, oh, no, Lord, may it never be. Jesus says, you get behind me. But then you have in John, whenever he raises Lazarus from the dead, what does he tell Mary and Martha? He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Which sounds very much like what he said whenever John recorded that he said, I am the way, the truth, in the life. And then in John 17, when he says, and this is eternal life, that you would know the one true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. None of these others who came back to life from the dead did it to prove anything other than Jesus had the power. But when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, there wasn't somebody there doing it. It was Jesus doing what he said he would do. He said, I lay my life down, and in 3 days I will take it back up again. Nobody else ever claimed to have that ability and proved it. Which means then that everything else that he said about why he died was validated. Because if he never was resurrected, then we're all still dead in our trespasses and sins. So this resurrection had a purpose. It was unique. It was for something. That's different than the other folks who were raised from the dead. What's going through your mind? Oh, yeah. So let's ask the big question. So what difference does the resurrection make? What difference has it made to you? It's kind of, I'm circling back. It's a lot like the first question I asked. Okay. Yeah, Terry. We are the temple. He lives in us. So essentially, every day, we're living the resurrection. That's the purpose. Anyway. All right. Let's pray. Father, this is a great day for a lot of reasons. Lord, thank you that we get to wake up and come before you and wake up and present ourselves to you and wake up and realize that the story isn't just a story. Lord, we ask you today to visit your people, that Lord, those that have been celebrating and worshiping on the other side of the Asian continent, Lord, all early in the day today, Lord, I'm asking that as we join our hearts and our prayers with theirs, that Lord, you would move. Lord, move amongst them. Move amongst us. Lord, by your Spirit, that people would be moved to pursue you. That Lord, they would be moved to realize that you've been pursuing them. That Father, they would understand and accept the great love, grace, mercy, forgiveness, and peace that you have ready and waiting. Lord, I ask that you would help us to let our feet move in the directions that you take us, because we do know and we have experienced the change that you bring. And we know we did not manufacture it ourselves. Thank you for being bigger than us. Lord, help us to endeavor not things that we want to, but things that you lead us to that are bigger than us, that we can acknowledge there is a God in heaven who is in charge. Lord, let our lives be your life, because you are risen. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.